number 286 in the church hymnal. If you want to stand and join us, the Glory Land Way, 286, we'll sing a verse. Choir will come down. Everybody can fellowship.
Oh.
As I've said many times before, and I'll continue to say it, I praise God for who He has brought to our congregation that is musically gifted. To play instruments, as Brother Shoemaker, to sing songs, to do the piano, do everything. I praise God for them because they enhance the worship time that we have together. And so this morning, Casey is going to come and sing a song, not for our benefit, okay? When we sing and play instruments, it's not for us. It's to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a common song that many of us have heard before, but I want you to listen to the words and the assurance that comes with this one. Come on ahead.
Sent this verse to me a few months ago, and I'm going to read it to you, and I don't know, I might touch somebody here. It says, Psalm 27:10, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And it says, many have had sad experiences being forsaken by father or mother, broken homes, differences of belief, addiction to drugs or alcohol, even psychological isolation can leave children crippled by this loss. Even as adults, the pain may linger. God can take that place in our life, fill that void, and heal that hurt. He can direct us as adults who may take the role of the father or mother for us. His love is sufficient for all our needs.
Amen.
I watched a movie last week called I Can Only Imagine. I happen not to see it yet. And it touched my heart. Bart Millard is the lead singer of Mostly Me, and he grew up in an alcoholic, abusive home by his father. My parents were divorced when my twin sister and I were 18 months old. My mother was a severe alcoholic my whole life. The 9 years we lived with her, we saw things we shouldn't have. We were raised in bars, and we're not always treated the best. We had grown way faster than any child should. She loved us, but drinking and men were always important. At the age of 21, Jesus saved my soul. I grew up in Catholic, and our church didn't know you had to be saved to go to heaven. Through Jesus, I found my worth. I found that traumatic childhood doesn't define who I am. I am all the things that Jesus says I am. I have heard that song so many times, but I didn't know the background of why He wrote it. My mother died in 2015 of cirrhosis at 54. I was able to go down before she passed and help take care of her for about a week while she was in hospital. I hadn't seen her in a really long time. I talked to her about knowing the Lord, and I don't know if she did know Him, but I sure hope so. I hope that you guys enjoy this song, and I hope it touches your heart as much as it has been.
Thank you.
Galatians chapter number 2. I decided to give little Melvin a rest for a while. Galatians chapter number 2. It's a beautiful song. And the singer wrote the song with the mindset of what he will see when he gets to heaven. And the reason he's going to be in heaven is not because he's a good writer of a song, or because he's good with instruments, or he's going to be able to see Jesus Christ because of what Jesus Christ has done for him. Not because of anything that he has done physically. May I share this with you this morning? You cannot and you will not go to heaven in God's presence without Jesus Christ as your Savior. But because you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't work your way to it. Once you have Jesus Christ your Savior, you cannot lose it either. A lot of us live our lives scared to death that we're going to commit the wrong sin, or we're going to do the wrong thing, or we're going to live this kind of life or that kind of life, and we're going to lose salvation. May I tell you by the assurance of the Word of God that when you trust Jesus Christ your Savior, when you confess your sins to Him, when you repent, when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you have eternal life. You do not have to live your life in a state of misery, worrying and wondering, have I lost what Jesus gave to me? But also in that fact, it does not mean that the blood of Jesus Christ, when it covers us, when we trust Christ as our Savior, it does not give us a license to sin either. It does not say, okay, now that you have trusted me as your Savior, you go ahead and live a life of hell and rebellion and wickedness. It does not mean that. Okay? So I want to talk about what it means to be a Christian, but I want us to talk about what it really means and how we got to live according to that. So here in Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul talks about that. But while you found that, go back one book to Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Hold your finger in Ephesians chapter number 2. Go back to Galatians chapter number 5, one book back, verse number 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. I know there's a lot of discussion amongst brethren. Well, if somebody's really saved, then they can go and live like hell and still be okay. Well, let me show you what Paul says about that. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13 says, For brethren, you have not been called unto liberty, freedom. You've not been called unto freedom. You have been called to freedom, to liberty. Only use not liberty or freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You've not been saved to live according to your fleshly desires. The blood of Jesus Christ has not given us a license to live like we used to live. Instead, we've been called to liberty and freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ to serve others, not ourselves. If we would get our minds off of us and look and serving others, it would make a gigantic difference in how you live your life day to day. When we say, well, I'm saved, so now I got my asbestos fire suit on, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to have eternal life, hallelujah, now I can do what I used to do. No. It ought to be, thank you, God, for saving my sorry soul. Now help me use that for your honor and glory by helping other people find the same thing.
A blind man finding someone, another blind man showing him the way. A thirsty person finding water and showing other people how to find that water. A hungry person desperately needing something and getting fed and showing others where to get fed. That's what it's all about. Salvation's got nothing to do with your benefit. It's got everything to do with glorifying God so that others may come to know Jesus also. So please, do not take what we're looking at this morning and saying, well, Brother Brian's saying, once saved, always saved. That's what I am saying. But don't take it and say, well, that means that I can live like I want to live anymore. No, 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 no. It means that you live now unto Jesus and no longer unto yourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians, or Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's look at this. Look at the words. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that if you are in Christ, look what God has done for you. Chapter 2, verse number 1. And you can, if you would like to write in your Bibles, put your name right there where it says you. Put it right there, and it's okay to do that because it applies to you. If you know Christ as your Savior, it applies to you. Whether you're old or whether you're young, it has no age effect. And you hath he quickened, means made alive. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. The past tense. When you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is no longer looking at you like you're dead. He's now looking at you like you're alive. You were dead in your sin, but now you're alive into Jesus. A dead person cannot sin. You go to the graveyard here in Swain County and you walk amongst the graves. Those bodies can no longer sin because they are dead. But when you're alive, you can live under Jesus Christ. Verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You couldn't help it. According to the prince of the power of the air. He was your leader. He was your daddy. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience says, at one time, that's how you had to live. You couldn't help it. You woke up in a sinful attitude, in a sinful desire, and you couldn't help it. The devil led you. He is the prince of the power of the air, by the way. You had to live according to what he told you to do. He was your director. He was your God. And anything he said, you had to do. Anything he said, I had to do. For 21 years, I followed him. Now, I didn't walk around claiming to be a Satanist. Okay? But I walked according to my flesh, according to what he led me to do. That's what I did. I could not help it. That's who my daddy was. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, that's who your daddy is right now. That's insulting to me. I don't like it. It's the truth. And I tell it to you in love and as a warning. You don't have to live that way anymore. Christ can make you free so that you don't have to live that way anymore. So he says he's talking about past tense. Paul is saying that's what you used to do. Verse number 3, he says, among whom the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You are under God's wrath. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are no longer under God's wrath. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. But until you place your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, until you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you're under God's wrath. Because God has to judge. He judges sin. For the wages of sin is death. Paul is trying to help these folks to understand that's not who you are anymore. You notice it doesn't say to the Baptists, to the Methodists, to the Catholic. You notice it doesn't say nothing about denominations here. You notice it says nothing about color of skin here. You notice it says nothing about gender here. You notice it says nothing about rich or poor here. He is speaking to believers. He is speaking to those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Him as your Savior, that's who He's speaking to. That's what you were. This past year, a lot of events have taken place in my life and in friends of mine's lives. I've had friends die. I've had fellow preachers have heart attacks. I've had friends of mine that have retired. And I'm almost 59 years old. And I'm looking back on my life, and I'm looking back and saying, wow, and I'm analyzing all kinds of different things. But you know what? I don't regret. I never regret asking Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not saying I'm a perfect human being, and I'm not saying I got it all figured out, because if I did, I'd be a liar. But I am saying this, that who you are looking at right here is a child of God, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And every day I want to grow closer to Him in my manner of living, my manner of thinking, my manner of speaking. And that's what Paul's trying to get these folks to understand. Now, in the city of Ephesus was a city of debauchery. The temple to Diana was there. It was the major temple to Diana. And I'm not going to ask you to look it up right now, but if you want an opportunity to look at what the Temple of Diana was about, it was a wicked, it made San Francisco look like a Boy Scout camp. The Temple of Diana in Ephesus was a nasty place. And there were believers, there were people who were being pulled out of that. And Paul is trying to get them to understand, you don't have to do that anymore. God has delivered you from that. And he's trying to get them to understand who they're standing in now. And if I can get you to understand, and if I can get you to apply it to your life, that's no longer who you were. That's not who you are. You're not like that anymore. You're now under the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get somebody to say amen to that? That's what Paul's trying to get them to understand. He says, that's what you were. But I like, he continues on the thought process. He says this, but God, in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. As a little kid, I was gone. And me and my friends would play all kinds of games, because we didn't have video games. We'd all play all kinds of different games. Mumbly Pig, and things like that. Mumbly Pig, well, if you, I don't want to tell the little kids what to do, because I don't want them going home anyway. But we played this game called Mercy. Some of you probably played the same thing. You grasp hands, and you do your best to try the other person to scream mercy. All right? I didn't have an older brother, an older sibling, but I had friends of mine who were stronger than me, and we would play that game on a regular basis. And it tried to get somebody to say, mercy! So they would stop doing it because it hurts. Guess what? God gives us mercy. He's not doing this with our rich. He is pouring on us His mercy and not giving us what we deserve. We deserve hell. I deserve eternal punishment. I deserve to be separated from Him forever. I deserve that. But He's given me mercy in spite of me. That's why Paul says, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, even though I was filthy and on my way to hell, even though I was getting what I would deserve, He still loved me. Think about this for a second. Have you ever been unlovable? Have you ever done things in your life that you're thinking back and saying, why would God love me in that? Did you know and understand and realize what Paul's trying to get them to understand? Even in the midst of the filthiest thing you've ever done and thought and said, God still loved you in spite of you. But it doesn't stop there. It continues on today. And then tomorrow, guess what? He's still going to love, at least most of you. No, he's still going to love you in spite of you. Because when he looks on you in Christ, he sees the blood. As a Christian, you don't have to walk around worried about lightning and thunder and hammers. You get to live your life glorifying God, saying, God, thank you that I don't have to deal with that no more. He loves you. Even when we were dead in our sins, he hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. And I love in the parentheses. Anytime you see parentheses in the Bible, it's explaining what that thought process means. Here's what the process means. By grace, you are saved. Saved from what? You ever thought about what does it mean to be saved? If somebody asks you, are you saved? What does that mean? Are you put into a book and you're saved for future use? What does it mean to be saved? Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. Saved to eternal life. Saved to walk in the newness of life. Saved from what you justly deserve. Saved. Let me ask you, have you been saved from those things? Not by what you have done, by what Jesus Christ has done.
Yes.
That's what it means. But the problem is we take it so flippantly. It doesn't mean anything to us sometimes because it happened years ago. And so we just kind of live our lives like, okay, I'm saved. Every day it ought to be renewed in our hearts and say, God, thank you that I don't have to face the wrath of God anymore. One of the worst things that my mom could ever say to me is this: wait till your dad gets home. Can y'all say an amen to that? I remember one time my sister and I were in our bedroom, we shared a room at the time, and I got this wild idea, little Melvin, I got this wild idea to sit on my bed and put my legs up and have my sister sit on my legs, and I was going to push her from one side of the room to the other, from one bed to the other. I had seen it on Mayberry. I had seen it on Andy Griffith. And so I got it set in my mind, I can do that. And so sure enough, I talked her into it. She sat on my feet, and I pushed her. And she went about a foot off the ground. She didn't make it to the bed. She fell, and she broke her arm. I told her this: get up, you're okay. She was not okay. Her arm was... It was a compound fracture, so one was sticking out and the other one, it was bad. And I said, next, don't tell mom. Because I was afraid of what the consequence of that. I'm foolish. I was 9 years old and she was four. And so I'm doing everything I can to think of. She went screaming to mama, of course. But before she got to mom, I said, don't tell dad. Because I was so afraid of my dad. And he was having at work, and he was going to come in that afternoon. And I knew as soon as he found out what had happened, he was going to fill in the blank. So I begged him, please don't tell dad. Now I'm 9 years old. Of course, dad's going to know about it. So she says, well, wait till your dad gets home. We'll deal with this. They called the ambulance, took her to the hospital, and all that kind of good stuff. And I could not live the rest of the day because I was scared to death of what Dad was going to say. Sure enough, that evening, they get back from the hospital. My dad met them at the hospital. My grandmother stayed with me. And as I stayed there in the house, worried to death, not about my sister's arm broke. I'm being honest. I was worried about my dad. He came in the door. And I thought to myself, this is it. I'm done. He came into my room and he says, what's up? And I said, you know about Deanna, right? Yes. He says, it was just an accident, wasn't it? Apparently my mom had intervened. And she had taken away his wrath. Now, I'm not comparing my earthly dad to my heavenly father. But the relief that I felt to understand that I was not going to face the wrath of an angry man was a gigantic relief to me. May I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, where you justly and I justly deserve to be and take the punishment for our sins, when Jesus died on the cross and you trust Jesus Christ your Savior, God placed all of his wrath on Jesus Christ. So one day when we die and we stand before God, his wrath will not be on us. It's already been placed on Jesus Christ. He will welcome us home because of Jesus, not because of me. Can I get someone to say amen? Paul is trying to get the Ephesians to realize and understand they don't have to live like they lived anymore. They can live now and not in fear, but in joy. They can live because God's wrath has been put on Jesus, not on them. Are you afraid of God this morning? You say, well, Brother Brian, yeah, kind of, because I've been rotten. I've done some horrible things. I'm kind of afraid to face him because if I got to face him, what's he going to say? May I tell you, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, he's going to say this, welcome home, my child. But that seems too easy. There's nothing easy about it. It's glory to God because of what he's done for us. And has raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Look at this. Sometimes we skip over this. That in the ages to come, he, Jesus, might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. When we get to heaven, God's going to show us everything he's prepared for us, all the riches he's given to us, because of his son, Jesus. Not because we've earned it here. We're going to get to heaven, and I can't even imagine what it's going to be like, Casey. The streets of gold and the beautiful things. I was talking to the birthday boy this morning, Danny Orr. And we were talking about the beauty and the temperature. I think it's going to be about like this out there this morning. Not too hot, not too cold. It'd be just perfect. And we're going to get to enjoy the presence of God, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus does. And then he says this, for by grace are you saved. What does it mean to be saved? Saved from the wrath of God. You are saved through faith. Faith in what Jesus has done, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift, not of works. Lest any man should boast. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, God, I went to church and God, I went to Sunday school and God. No, 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 no. That ain't going to get it. Your only argument and my only argument is going to be this: I trusted Jesus. I placed my faith in Him. I placed my faith in what He did for me, and by His grace, I'm saved. That's it. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that somebody else can't do better works than you to get to heaven? And then you get to heaven and God says, "Ooh, you almost made it. You didn't work hard enough. You didn't go to church enough. You didn't give enough. And so therefore, remember that dollar bill I told you to give and you didn't give it? Well, you lost heaven because of that. Aren't you glad that's not applicable?" That'd be misery, living life like that. Worried that you didn't give enough and do enough. Praise God, I can't earn it and I can't buy my way. It's only through trusting Jesus Christ that I have eternal life. So what should my motivation be? Why? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 10. Because of that, we are His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created and we are saved so that we may let others know by our lives. Brothers and sisters, I ought to do right. Not because I have to, but because I get to. I ought to live right in His eyes because of what He's done for me. Not because I have to and I'm afraid I'm going to lose my salvation. By the way, you can't lose something that was given to you and kept by someone else. Can I read a verse to you to give you some assurance of that? Is that okay if I read that to you? Well, let me show it to you. Go to John chapter 10 real quick. John chapter 10. I know a lot of people struggle with this. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse number 25. Listen to this word that Jesus was telling His disciples. And the people that were walking around Him in the temple. Look what Jesus told them. I told you, verse 25, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you don't believe. You believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, He says, instead, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That means not even you can pluck them out of the Father's hand. Well, what about those who turn their back on God? What about that? Listen, I want you to understand something, and this occurred to me this morning. It don't matter about other people with how they live and don't live. Okay? Stop it. Stop judging other people. Stop saying, well, if they're really safe, stop! It's got nothing to do with you. You're not going to judge them, and they're not going to judge you. Stop basing your life upon what other people do and don't do. Stop! Jesus Christ is all that matters. Jesus Christ. He said, no man shall pluck them from my Father's hand. Well, that's in my hand. I'm right there. As many as God gave, they're going to stay there permanently. Isn't that what it says? So you were a rotten, nasty, filthy scoundrel. You were debauched and filthy and horrible and uncomprehendable. You were you were dog vomit. You were. But now you are a child of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. You're joint heirs with Jesus. You're free. And you can live a life that brings him honor because of who you are. Because you're in the one that died for you and was buried and rose again. Can I help you this morning? You don't have to live a defeated life. You can live a glorious life because of who you belong to. You're no longer like you were. Now you're in Christ Jesus. And he said, Brother Brian, I'm not there. That's not me. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. Can I tell you something? God loved you so much that he brought you here this morning to hear that. So that you can come to know Christ as your Savior. It's as simple as, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I'm a rotten, horrible person, but I really want to be your child. I need Jesus to be my Savior. It's as simple as that. You mean it from the heart, and he knows the truth. So, believer, how are you walking? Are you walking like this? Or you walking like this? Thank you, God. Your choice. I walk like this sometimes. But I want to walk like this. Help me, God. Walk like this. I'm no longer what I used to be. But I thank God. I'm even better. And I'm going to be what God wants. In his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. And by the way, it's okay for babies to cry. They're supposed to. It's fine. I'm glad to hear the cries of babies. Bow your heads and close your eyes if you would mind, just for privacy. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands. I'm not going to ask anybody to respond to me. But I want you to just get an opportunity to draw yourself a circle around you. If you're right next to somebody, maybe give yourself just a little bit of space so that you can contemplate what God is speaking to your heart about. Maybe you needed the encouragement today that you're one of God's children and he loves you in spite of you. Maybe this morning you needed a little bit of conviction that, hey, I need to be living in that victory. And I need to thank God for that because I'm not what I used to be. Or maybe this morning you're here and you don't have that, but you do want that because the Spirit is drawing you this morning. Can I tell you that today is the day of salvation? That you can trust Christ as your Savior. We'll be glad to show you from the Bible how to be saved. We'll be glad to do that with you. But if you need encouragement, we'll be glad to give that to you also. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have freedom in Christ today. Let's live in that. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. These few brief moments we have to end our worship service, Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you are great. And you were willing to forgive us of our sins and to exclude us from your wrath through your Son, Jesus. I justly deserve your wrath, but I thank you that Jesus has taken it for me, and I want to live for him. Help us to live in that today. Help us to walk in that, and that victory has been won for us. For the precious soul or souls in this room that don't have that assurance, may today be that day where we can show them and help them understand that they can be free in Christ today. Please, only you can do the work that needs to be done. In Christ's name, I do pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This door's going to be this way. Quietly displayed. If you have a need, I want to invite you to come. Someone to pray with you if you need that. Maybe as a family you want to come pray, or maybe you just want to come and just spend some time. We won't bother you, but if you want us to pray, we'll pray with you. We'll ask you to come down. Just step out where you are. Just step out and come. It's okay. Maybe you need assurance. Maybe you just need someone to tell you they love you. Won't you come right now? Won't you step out and come? This morning as you exit, if this is on your heart and you'd like to talk about it, all you have to simply do is just say, hey, Brother Brian, I'd like to talk to you about this. That'd be wonderful. What an opportunity to be able to help you and to help you walk in the Lord today. Couple of announcements. Wednesday we have fellowship dinner at 5:45, so please be here for that. Tanner, any other announcements that I need to make?
Just a reminder, next Sunday is
right. 2 o'clock. All right, Jade, Matthew, raise your hand right here. Okay. They're going to be getting marred in May. May the 4th. And so please, next Sunday is the wedding shower after church on that. Joshua?
We're
going to
be finding in here
by looking at stars. Anybody like astronomy, raise your hand. Okay, all right. So once we get 10 people signed up, then we'll get the date set and go from there. Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate you organizing that. Brother Shemek, if you'll do me a favor, come on up. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask him to play. When he gets done, then we can be dismissed. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done in our hearts through your word today. Thank you, Brother Shemek, for being here this morning to worship you through music. Thank you for the words that we've heard. Thank you for the music we've heard. But God, thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. We sure love you, and we thank you for loving us in spite of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's going to play, and we'll be dismissed.